New owners take over the keys to the Country Club Plaza. Will it make a difference? Kansas City gets an important World Cup trial run this week just as major drama erupts. The head of Kansas City's World Cup committee abruptly resigns. Now what? Remember the outrage over Jackson County property assessments? The issue finally ends up in court this week. And what's that noise? It's the toll booths coming down in Kansas this weekend. Those stories in the rest of the week's news, straight ahead.
Week in Review is made possible through the generous support of AARP Kansas City, RSM, Dave and Jamie Cummings, Bob and Marlise Gourley, the Courtney S. Turner Charitable Trust, John H. Mize, and Bank of America N.A., co-trustees, the Restaurant at 1900, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nick Haynes, and thank you for joining us on our weekly journey through the week's most impactful, curious, and downright head-scratching local news stories. On the Week in Review bus with us this week is our resident soccer expert, Scott Parks. You hear him from 2 to 6 weekdays on Dana and Parks on KMBZ Radio. From the anchor desk at KMBC 9 News, Chris Ketz is with us, along with former Kansas City Star newsman Dave Helling, and from the Kansas City PBS newsroom, Flatlands senior reporter Mary Sanchez. It was the week of the big debate. It was also the week of the big sale. Amid growing concerns over crime and store vacancies, the Country Club Plaza now has new owners. Mired in debt, the financially struggling shopping district was sold today to a Texas company after nearly 9 months of behind-the-scenes negotiations. A news conference is planned for this upcoming Monday to go into the details of the transaction. But here's what we know now. The new owners, HP Village Partners, operates an upscale outdoor shopping center in the Dallas area and has a strong relationship with multiple luxury retailers. On Monday, look for the new owners to reveal that several of those high-end brands are now coming to the plaza. They're also expected to announce plans for more offices and housing in the 15-block shopping district.
I think you'll see the new ownership group hit the ground running in terms of new businesses, businesses that have not been to Kansas City or have not been here for a long time.
But Chris Ketz, how much difference can a new owner really make to the plaza's two biggest problems, rapidly changing shopping habits and stubbornly high levels of crime?
And also in a market that has been traditionally considered soft when it comes to retail. So that's something else to take into consideration moving forward. But there does seem to be some very early optimism by stakeholders in and around the plaza. There seems to be some confidence that maybe this is the company that can breathe new life into the plaza. We still don't know what sort of a mix in terms of retail, residential, office. We still don't know a lot of the details of what they plan to do, but it's very early. I hesitate to say so far so good, but Monday's news conference will be interesting.
Crime has been a pesky problem for the plaza, and you were with the police chief this week at a conference where she mentioned the plaza.
Well, yes, actually, it came out several times. She was with the U.S. Mayor's Conference last week, and then yesterday she addressed a group of women leaders. And the issue of the crime in the plaza did come up. If a crime occurs on the plaza, more than likely it's because of your car. You left something in your car unsecured, you left your car unlocked, or someone broke into your car to get something. That's the largest amount of crime on the plaza. And people kind of lose sight of that. But that really needs to be emphasized.
The mayor went to Dallas to recruit the company to make sure this deal was going to go through. What we don't know at this moment in time is what the city is going to offer, if anything, in terms of public help, tax incentives.
You can guess, given the age of the infrastructure, Nick, and some of the internal problems for those properties, that there will be a sizable public ask to improve the product. In return, though, the plaza may have to offer increased revenues from sales tax and sales and get the tenant mix right, return that neighborhood to the destination it once was. I think that's the problem today. It's not considered a destination anymore. Streetcar should help. And if they can make that kind of commitment to have enough businesses and the right tenant mix, then I do think the city will look favorably on some incentives.
Scott, the plaza's new owners say priority number one is what to do with that mammoth hole left behind. Remember when the Nordstrom department store was going to go and then decided to walk away from all of that? What happens in that space? Is there a different view of that space today? I'm assuming it's a little small to shoehorn a new stadium.
Well, you can't,
put the Royals there.
No, the Royals are not going to the Plaza.
facility.
Obviously, the west side of the Plaza is priority number one. But to follow up on what Mary said, I think changing the stigma that the Plaza has become a little dangerous is absolutely key. Yeah. And how you solve that, obviously, is more security, of course. But you've got to change that stigma because there are people, you know, the Plaza doesn't just serve Kansas City. A lot of the people that go to the Plaza are from Johnson County. They go there to eat. They go to there to shop. If they don't feel safe, or if the stigma is that they won't feel safe, they won't go, especially on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah.
They must understand that, though. They operate a similar type of facility in Dallas, high-end. They don't have crime problems there.
Dallas is also a much larger market than Kansas City, and so you have an opportunity, more of an opportunity, for stores like that on the high end to be successful. And again, we don't know what sort of mix that these new developers have in mind, and certainly, as Scott, and an excellent point, the new owners have to address that perception. That it's not safe to go on the Plaza, and that may, even before the Nordstrom, that may be priority one.
Whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
You know, well, there's a lot of things that you can do, though, that will make people feel more safe in terms of lighting in the parking garages. There's little cubby holes in stairwells that, frankly, I won't walk down later at night if I'm alone. Mm-hmm. I won't. I play tennis nearby, and we'll walk together in pairs to our cars. Just to be safe.
Well, you don't have to worry about that any longer because they may take out the tennis courts.
Well, I heard they're finishing the resurfacing. Yeah. The city spent $500,000 to do that. So I think they're safe for now with USDA for a year.
Right. Well, 2 years from today, we are going to have a lot of people here because Kansas City is going to be in the middle of hosting the World Cup. But planning for the biggest event in the city's history was thrown into turmoil this week as the person put in charge of leading the effort abruptly resigns. Kansas City World Cup director Catherine Holland isn't saying what's behind her sudden departure. Is anyone else talking? And what impact does this have on our efforts to prepare for the most complex event the city has ever put on, Scott?
Well, why she resigned is unknown. I think it has a lot to do with, or at least what I'm hearing, is that she was at the top, but her words were not being heard, so to speak. But one thing I thought about this morning as I was getting ready to come in here today was Kansas City has no idea, I don't think, the magnitude of what they're about to get. This is the Super Bowl on steroids. And if we get the base camps, which I know Kathy Nelson has petitioned for, 3 base camps, that's even bigger than getting the World Cup because those fans will come here, they will stay here, they'll fly out to whatever city their team is playing in, and then they'll come back. And the economic impact of a base camp on any given city is gigantic. Now, why she left, I don't know. But we were talking a little bit about this before the show. I was unaware that there were 17 members on the committee. Now, some of them might just be there for show. But that's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and maybe too many cooks in the kitchen. And if she's not being heard, or she doesn't perceive that she's being heard, that may have had something to do with her departure. But what we're about to get in 2 years, Kansas City has, it's going to be so incredible, so amazing. I mean, you think about the NFL draft, that was huge. But what is coming with the World Cup cannot even be put into words.
Which is why it's so important that Kansas City not screw this up.
Right.
And there are probably people who will say, well, if you're going to make a change like this, do it now as opposed to 3 months out. But the issues that come with the World Cup, especially transportation, the challenges that are being faced are so great that, and the clock is ticking even as we speak. 26 will be here before we know it, and
but Kansas City just hired Julie Lorenz, who is the former Kansas Transportation Director, former head of HNTB, viewed very highly in the transportation space. She could step in if the biggest Achilles heel today is transportation. Don't we have somebody who can take the reins and make sure we don't have these problems?
That is certainly the hope.
Except that, who would want that job? If Catherine Holland is right in that she's not being listened to, who would replace her that would be listened to? Now, if it's Julia Lorenz, for example, she would want some assurances, one would think, about her executive authority in that position, maybe assurances that Holland never got or didn't get when she asked for them. But the reason it's such a bad look with 2 years to go is it suggests that it's difficult for the leadership to settle into the roles that they need to be settled into to address not only transportation but all the other concerns.
All this drama was taking place in a week in which Kansas City was getting an important World Cup trial run as it co-hosts the 16-nation Copa America tournament. It's considered a mini World Cup and features the best soccer teams in North and South America from Canada to Chile. On Tuesday night, Children's Mercy Park hosted a group stage match between Peru and Canada. And on Monday, the U.S. national team will be here playing Uruguay at Arrowhead Stadium. Now, in South America, perhaps the planet's most successful and soccer-crazed continent, it is a massive deal. But did Kansas City care this week, Scott?
Kansas City did not.
We see a lot of empty seats in that stadium,
didn't we? And keep in mind, as a season ticket holder, I know I get chastised for saying that too much, Sporting Park holds 18,000 people on a great night. There were 12,000 here the other night. Copa America, and no offense to Copa America, but it is the ugly stepchild to the Euro Cup. It really is. What this was a test run for the World Cup. But what concerns me is on Monday night when the United States plays Uruguay at Arrowhead Stadium, first of all, that field is not FIFA regulated. It is too small, and it has not been fixed for the World Cup in 2026 yet and won't be for another year. There are going to be a lot of empty seats. The U.S. men's team is not the U.S. men's team of 1994.
Okay, but isn't that going to be the greatest fear of our World Cup host committee here in Kansas City, our city and political leaders, if they see cameras when the World Cup in 2026 arrives and we see half-empty stadiums in Kansas City, Chris?
I don't know that we're going to see that necessarily in 2026. And I would go back to something that Scott said. I question how much of a test run this really was for the World Cup, given that we're kind of talking about apples and oranges here in terms of soccer.
Well, how much, by the way, in terms of the lack of people, butts in seats at the stadium this week, how much of that was to do with the heat? With Kansas City flirting with 100-degree temperatures, one of the assistant referees collapsed on the field. Remember, Kansas City will be hosting the World Cup at this same time of year in 2026, and Arrowhead offers no respite from the sun. Is that a new problem to be solved along with the transportation issue? Mary?
I don't think it's a new problem. I mean, anytime that you have a sporting event, you obviously have a whole lot of medical team there. And when you have that many fans, that goes along with issues of security, is that you need to make sure that everyone is safe, healthy, well cared for. One of the things that they do to solve that is that they start the games later. You know, later in the evening, that referee was standing on a portion of the field where he was directly in the sun.
And this was a 5 o'clock game.
Yes.
And in fact, for the World Cup, they're talking, even because they really try to appeal these days to Asian markets to expand the game, they're looking at perhaps even very early morning games here to reach what is prime time in those communities,
yes,
in those countries.
Absolutely.
Scott also mentioned something that I think we really need to focus on, and that is the improvements or the changes at Arrowhead for the World Cup. We still don't know who's going to pay for those, how it's going to work, or what impact it has on the stadium, and what impact, if any, it has on the stadium discussions for the Chiefs in Kansas, because in essence you're thinking about investing $50 or $60 or $80 million in Arrowhead only to abandon it a couple of years later. I think those things are more interchanged than we know, and may play a role in some of the discussions at the World Cup.
A fan fest is also a huge part of the World Cup. We still don't know where that's going to take place. In other communities, Scott, because I really do actually follow this in the reporting in other communities, they're all ringing alarm bells about the lack of information from FIFA, what's happening. And yet here we've always said, everything's fine. We don't seem to want to air our dirty laundry here when it comes to those types of questions.
FIFA is a very controversial organization, as everybody knows. But I think we've had enough, regarding fan fests, we've had enough big events in the last few years, parades, drafts. I think we'll be just fine. I will, just regarding the heat, if I may just very quickly say this, remind everyone the last World Cup was held in Qatar. And somehow they managed to get through that World Cup just fine.
Now, what's that noise? It's the sound of toll booths coming down in Kansas at the stroke of midnight this Sunday. You will no longer have to fumble for loose change when you travel on I-70 through the Sunflower State. The Kansas Turnpike is going cashless. What does that mean? You'll no longer have to stop and pick up a ticket at a toll booth. Instead, an electronic license plate reader will track your travel and automatically send you a bill through the mail. So that's why, Chris, Kansas was so keen to get those updated license plates. So, God forbid that it wouldn't be able to track your faded license plate and you wouldn't pay the toll.
You know, I just went through this with one of my stepdaughters going to and from Lawrence and suddenly ended up with about a $40 bill and couldn't figure out why. And of course, the first thing I did was, Beatrice, we're getting you a K-tag.
I deal with that all the time. I can't believe how many fines. I say, I wasn't even driving. It was my daughter going through there, taking people to the airport. But a lot of people are also concerned, you know, this is Big Brother watching you, Scott. Should people have concerns that they will be monitoring this, handing over that data to law enforcement?
I didn't bring my cell phone in. I left it out in the car. If you're worried about Big Brother monitoring you, you literally carry it with you everywhere you go. Exactly. But I was an unwitting participant in the test case for this new cashless toll. I was leaving Wichita about 2 months ago, and we're halfway back to Emporia, and I'm frantically looking for my ticket. Where's the ticket? We ended up pulling up into Emporia, and I said to the lady, I said, I don't know where my ticket is. I have no idea. She says, did you come out of East Wichita? And I said, yes, I did. She goes, you're a test case. And she said, just go up to the lady at the toll booth, let her know you came out of Wichita, and she'll tell you to pay $5.25.
I'm just going to use that anyway anytime a bill comes through. And I'm just going to say I'm a test case. I am actually exempt from paying. I've always been fascinated by toll booth folks, the people who work in them, and you know how they even pass their time of day. But absolutely. I'm thinking, are we going to have a huge mass layoff of all of these toll booth operators now, Mary?
No, it's a thing of demographics that a lot of them are at retirement age. And so they are either going to be ready to retire, or so we're told, press will hear differently later. And then a lot of them might be able to shift into different types of jobs.
That is good to know. Now I feel better about this situation.
Quickly, my old friend Kevin Gray, God rest his soul, who used to be with the Kansas City Sports Commission, once suggested that Kansans be charged every time they drive across the state line into Missouri with a K-tag to pay for the stadiums. That's how he was going to do it. If you had to go drive across 435, just have your K-tag activate, and that's how you would pay for stadiums.
Well, the way things are going right now, that could happen.
It didn't matter. It doesn't matter. They were just going to get you somehow, one way or another.
All right. Well, remember all that outrage and all those protests over property assessments in Jackson County? A trial finally got underway this week to decide whether anything illegal happened. The Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey claims Jackson County broke state law by failing to perform physical inspections, didn't provide timely and proper notice of assessments, and in some cases, coerced homeowners to drop their appeals. Don't expect a quick ruling. The trial is expected to continue through July 8th. But what if the judge says there was something illegal going on? Are Jackson County homeowners no longer on the hook for paying their property taxes? No, they could be wringing their hands.
One of the biggest questions is, once this trial is over, what's your remedy? Is there a countywide remedy? Do you force local jurisdictions to give back money that they've been receiving from the county based on prior year assessments? Or does it just apply to the plaintiffs? Or the state, in which case some people who didn't get into the case have to pay the full amount. It's a very, very messy situation. That's one of the reasons, Nick, why solving the assessment problem in Jackson County is so difficult. Because if you do it for one, you've got to do it for everybody, and then you're really in a pickle. Yeah.
Well, and there are so many taxing entities that people don't realize within the county. And some of the top ones are the school districts.
And they're the ones actually saying, keep it as it is.
Absolutely, because they have more money coming off of those property taxes, because we fund public education largely through property taxes.
And it's hard not to think that once a decision is made that appeals will soon follow.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week, passions ran high over the vote in Kansas to dangle billions of dollars in front of the Chiefs and Royals to slip over the state line, while reactions swung from giddy excitement to panicked alarm. Sports Illustrated this week offers a third view. Should we even care? The sports magazine claims most people on the East and West Coasts already think the Chiefs and Royals play in Kansas, and they point out how common commonplace it has now become for teams to play outside of the cities that bear their names. The Las Vegas Raiders don't play in Vegas. They play in nearby Paradise, Nevada. The Cowboys don't play in Dallas, but in the city of Arlington, Texas. And the New York Jets and New York Giants play in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So, Scott, should we stop with the long faces and sobbing in our shoes and just be happy the teams are going to be here in the Metro?
One-third of NFL teams don't play in the city that bears their name. San Francisco does not play in San Francisco. Everybody connects the New England Patriots with Boston. They do not play in Boston. One-third of NFL teams don't play in the city that they're named after. I couldn't care less what people on the East and West Coast think. I think it is a big deal here in this town. It is a source of pride that the Chiefs play in Kansas City, Missouri, that the Royals play in Kansas City, Missouri. But if I had a crystal ball, the Royals are going to stay in Kansas City, Missouri, and the Chiefs will soon be located west of the Legends.
I would agree with Scott. I don't know about necessarily the predictions, but as far as caring, we call that flyover journalism to a certain extent. It's the view from a coast that doesn't really understand or know this market necessarily. You know, it's just a thing of cities, of how they've grown and changed, that all these teams end up outside of their city limits. But it sure as heck matters in terms of prestige, in terms of the tax base, in terms of all sorts of financial things.
And parochialism is still very much alive and well in communities, especially like Kansas City, especially in an issue like this.
I don't think it makes a lot of difference with the Chiefs. I do think it makes a difference with the Royals. I do think people think of Major League Baseball, which is the first big Major League sport to ever come to Kansas City, sort of belongs in Kansas City, Missouri. With the Chiefs, it's, you know, if they're out at the Legends, I think people will accept that. And I do think eventually, Nick, there will be a recognition that having one team in Kansas and one in Missouri is probably the most equitable way, the fairest way, to involve the entire metro in financial support for these franchises, rather than what's been the case for 50 years, which is to ask Jackson Countyans to pay for everything, and everyone else gets a bit of a free ride.
And just in advancing the story just a little bit, Chris, I was surprised to see a news report on your own station, KMBC, talking about how Bob Kendrick, the head of our own Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, now advising the Nashville group that wants to bring a baseball team there. Now, he was part of the leadership group on that recent stadium tax here in Kansas City. Has he swapped sides?
No, I don't think he's swapped sides. He has been connected with that Nashville effort for some time now, so this isn't anything necessarily new. Listen, I think Bob Kendrick's heart is and will continue to be in Kansas City. I don't think there's much to worry about there.
When you put a program like this together every week, you can't get to every story grabbing the headlines. What was the big local story we missed?
Kansas Cityans spend the week trying to beat the heat as we hit 100 degrees for the first time this year. Federal rulings out of Kansas and Missouri block President Biden's new student loan forgiveness program. Chris Kobach filed the lawsuit in Kansas. He says blue-collar Kansas workers shouldn't have to pay off the student loans of New Yorkers with gender studies degrees. A ninth lawsuit now filed against Hereford House in that food contamination case. The latest suit comes from a family who says they got sick while celebrating an 80th birthday at the Leawood Steakhouse. A new Kansas abortion law takes effect next week, requiring women to fill in a questionnaire detailing why they want to terminate their pregnancy. Pro-choice activists claim it is an invasion of privacy. A Johnson County judge is set to rule on a legal challenge to the new law on Monday. Too much drama. The Chiefs release Isaiah Bugs after the defensive lineman is charged with domestic abuse, burglary, and animal cruelty. Bugs' former teammate Travis Kelce lights up London as he joins Taylor Swift on stage during her UK tour. And is this really necessary? The Chiefs now partnering with the Hallmark Channel on a new Christmas movie that will begin production next month. Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, will air on the Hallmark Channel in December.
That they were looking for extras and they were going to pay $150 a day. Could we see Chris Ketz in the background of that movie?
I think that is highly unlikely.
Okay, oh, I'm just wondering. It might be something appealing to you.
Highly unlikely. Is it time for me to give a thought on that? I think the story about the Hallmark movie is probably something that, you know, probably would have gotten a lot more run, especially during the season. It looks like it's going to be. It's one of those fun things that when you win as many Super Bowls as they have, this is the kind of attention that you get.
But it's not 93% of the entire news cycle is dedicated to the Chiefs, though, in this community right now. Scott.
Chris has stolen my thunder. I was going to mention the Chiefs Hallmark movie as being the story that we missed on the show today. It's going to be terrible. Absolutely terrible. There's never been anything on the Hallmark Channel that's been worthy of watching. And when you, we read the synopsis of the plot, if there is such a thing, it's bad.
Funding, by the way, for this program and for Kansas City PBS, provided by Hallmark. Sorry, we really apologize for Scott's remarks. No, Mary.
I'm not going to take on Hallmark movies. I mean, they're nice in that you always know how they end. They always end on an uplift, happy, even like the woman who's been like the bad girl in it usually finds a redeeming quality. So it's nice. However, I did not choose that.
Okay.
I'm choosing something going back to sports. Bo Jackson will be inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame on Saturday. And if you missed his era, go back and watch some tapes. The man is amazing.
Dave.
The right time of year with a cup of coffee and a fire going, a Hallmark movie can provide some comfort to some people. So I don't think they're all horrible. But on a serious, semi-serious note, the New York Times has a story today, Nick, that the city of Boston, which is just a little bit bigger than Kansas City, about 650,000 people, has had four murders this year.
Yeah.
Four.
Wow.
It is possible to reduce the murder rate. Kansas City's is down significantly so far, but nowhere near where it should be or could be. And I think city leaders might want to take a look at Boston and figure out what they did.
And on that, we will say our week has been reviewed courtesy of Mary Sanchez from the Kansas City PBS Newsroom Flatland and from the anchor desk at Channel 9, Chris Ketz. He is 50% of Dana and Parks weekdays from 2 to 6 on KNBC Radio, Scott Parks. And now getting a chance to lie in the morning, former Kansas City Star newsman Dave Helling. And I'm Nick Haynes. We will be back after the 4th of July holiday weekend. Until then, from all of us here at Kansas City PBS, be well, keep calm, and carry on.